Hello?
Oh no, she's dead.
Death, a funny business on FUBAR Radio with Becky Briggs and Natasha Spencer-Levy.
It's all shits and giggles till somebody dies.
Hello, welcome
Hi.
To Death, a funny business.
Oh yeah.
Another week.
It is with me, Natasha Spencer-Levy.
And me, Becky Briggs.
Wow, good job. Professional stuff right here, guys.
How are you doing this week, Tash?
Yeah, I'm okay. I've had a bit of it's a big day for America. Happy voting day to the Americanas. It's a big day for me too. I got diagnosed with a chronic pain disorder today.
Oh my gosh. Actually really sad. Are you okay?
No, I've had actually quite an emotional day. I know I'm laughing about it, but this is how we deal with these things here.
So we deal with
it's
really, classic, really
like
difficult
me and you
situations.
Making a podcast about our dead parents, like laughing, and we'd be like, haha, I just have fibromyalgia. So that's good fun.
Do you want to talk about that?
Which is what Lady Gaga has. So I feel
quite cool.
That is quite cool. So my best mate was like, you know, that's what Lady Gaga has. And I was like, oh, actually, that does make me feel a bit better because now I feel like I'm one step closer
to her.
But it is painful. Anyway, it's a new experience. I'll take you on the journey with me, listeners.
Yeah,
we can. So if anyone else is experiencing chronic pain, we could be there together.
It is a lot of people have it though, so
I know.
We'll check in next week.
Yeah, just yeah, that's
see how
just
you're doing.
What about you? What's going on with you?
Honestly, mind blank, don't know what's going on. Just
know
that it's dark outside
and
it's stressing me out a lot.
Fair enough.
But I actually feel really energetic today. I don't know why.
Good.
I feel really
because
good.
I want to crawl in a hole. So
okay.
You're going to have all the energy for the both of us.
Amazing. And ready for
this. I don't want to crawl in a hole. I've just cried a lot today. It's just been a very shocking experience.
Exhausting.
Yeah.
I know. I don't mean to look over that. I do actually
oh my
want to
God.
Have a conversation with you about it.
Rebecca, it's literally fine. We have a show to do. This isn't about
we do.
Me.
And do you know who's on today?
I actually don't.
You actually don't.
Because I haven't read the...
That's really bad.
No, I did read it. My brain isn't very good. You have to tell me.
I'll tell you, my love. We've got two guests. We've got a musician, Brocard,
mm-hmm.
who
also, yes.
I think I've read a bit about her recently, but she was married to a ghost and then had a divorce.
What now?
I think we need to explore that with her.
Yeah, we're
going
to have to explore that. What is that?
What is that? And then we have, oh my God, I'm so excited about this one. I don't know if you've read about... I think it's called Grief Tech.
Grief Tech.
It's like an advancement thing now. So we're speaking to Justin Harrison, and he's the CEO, a founder of You Only Virtual. And it's basically this AI machine that can communicate with someone who's died.
What?
I know.
So AI for dead people.
AI for dead people.
Incredible.
So,
that sounds like fun. Was that the person that you sent me on Instagram?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, I know. Because I was honestly mind-blown. I was like, what is this? So yeah,
Wait.
That's who we're speaking to today.
Okay, that's so amazing.
I'm
that's
excited.
Exciting stuff.
Yeah, got loads of questions.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Let's do it.
Hello and welcome, Brocard.
Hello.
Thank you so
Hi.
Much for joining us today. You are a musician. Had a little listen to music earlier. Very, very cool. And also a paranormal investigator we've heard. So we feel like we've got lots to cover in the next 10 minutes or so. Music. Are you gigging? Brocard, I assume that's your artist name as well as, is it your name? Or
I'm Brocard, that's my name. That's how I'm known in every aspect of life. But yes, it's also my artist name. And yeah, the whole kind of paranormal world is actually amazing inspiration for music because as a songwriter, you're always looking for new things to write about. And these kind of crazy paranormal encounters that I've, you know, experienced, they just give me something else to talk about and share with the world.
I'm a songwriter as well, and I have to say, I do not have that kind of inspiration, so this is fascinating. My inspiration are dickhead men normally.
Oh, dickhead men.
Dickhead men.
Okay.
So, well, yeah. I don't know, maybe that's also your inspiration in the kind of paranormal world, but I'm fascinated by that because... What does that look like?
We need to know.
We need
what
to know.
What is these paranormal experiences that are influencing your work?
Yeah.
Well, I think it's really odd because a few years ago, I didn't necessarily even think about ghosts or think about, I wasn't one of those people that was ghost hunting and looking for spirits and looking for paranormal activity. Kind of out of nowhere, I had a really, really impacting experience, and that's really changed how I see the world, how I see the afterlife, how I look at ghosts, how I look at paranormal activity. And I just feel like sometimes you don't believe it until it happens to you, or you don't even consciously think about that world, or you don't think about anything outside of what's normal to you day to day. And because I had something happen that was so impacting, I feel like ghosts and that kind of ability has been triggered somehow, and now it's quite regular to me. Like, now it's quite commonplace, it's quite normal. I will often see and sense ghosts and spirits in normal locations, not necessarily in haunted locations. So it's become part of my world, and naturally that gives me something to talk about other than kind of human relationships. Like, the kind of thing where you're having paranormal relationships and you're interacting with spirits is a whole world. And I kind of travel the world talking to people who are experts in this field, going to the most haunted locations. And it's so fascinating to me, as someone who's only had this kind of gift for the last few years, to listen to people's encounters and to listen to people who've been doing seances since they've been a child. It's like, it's mind blowing. And somehow I found myself on this journey, and I feel like everything does happen for a purpose. So I'm just rolling with it and trying to learn as much as I can, because I don't profess to know everything about the paranormal, but I'm on a nice learning journey and my mind is expanding all the time.
Oh, wow.
Because there are, to be brutally honest, there are going to be some people listening going, I don't believe it. I can't, because maybe they haven't experienced it themselves. But how can you kind of explain the first time that you had this experience, like paranormal experience, of when you kind of met someone? Because it is very fascinating for someone, you know, who I would have no idea what that would look like.
You do make a good point, and I try and put myself in the shoes of before this happened to me and someone said, I'd be like, what? Because you can't comprehend that kind of stuff happening unless it happens. So I get that, and I'm not one of those mad advocates that's like, everyone must believe in ghosts. I think you believe what you believe, and if you believe it, you believe it, and if you don't, then fair enough. Like, but I mean, I think, like I said, I had to have something majorly impacting, and it was one of those encounters that really, really stuck with me. I was trying to get to sleep one night, and this was a few years ago during lockdown, and I had an intense paranormal encounter that I couldn't shake. It literally triggered every sense of my body. Like, I could see like the apparition of this ghost. I could even smell the ghost, like smell the uniform. It literally took over my whole body, and I was like, what on earth is this? And it scared me at first. It was a hard road to come to terms with, that whole thing where you are seeing spirits. It terrified me, and a whole period of my life I was like, I need to get an exorcist, or like, I didn't actually know what to do. I was like, I need to get this out of my life, I need to seek an exorcism. But now I'm just like, well, no, you can live in harmony with spirits.
But did you not
learn how to deal with it?
Sorry to interrupt. Did you not just think that was a bad dream? Like, how, what did you physically actually see something in front of you? Was there actually something there, or someone? Like, what did that look like? Because I think in films it's portrayed as, like, I don't know,
like a veil.
Like, wasn't Dumbledore? I haven't really watched Harry Potter, so it's really bad.
Don't use Harry Potter as an example.
No, I'm not. But I'm saying, like, drawing stereotypes.
What, like when a ghost is like
when
a ghost.
When a ghost is there, or like a spirit,
yeah,
or something.
Like a body.
Yeah, they make it into kind
like
of
a see-through thing.
Exactly. That's exactly what I'm trying to say. What does it look like for you when you saw this
Person.
Yeah,
spirit.
Well, predominantly it touched my body. So I had a massive, massive sort of burning in my heart. And then I could feel this spirit moving throughout my body. And it was like being looking down at yourself, almost like an outer body. That's how I would describe it, because I could sort of see myself. I was looking down on myself, and I could see and I could feel this spirit moving down throughout my body. And it was like I was sort of a passenger in this experience. So I could feel it happening to my body. Like, I was sweating, I was pulsating, I was going through all the motions. And when I sat up afterwards, like, I was sort of like jolted forward to an upright position. And I was sitting there for a long time with tears streaming down my face. So it really sort of triggered every emotion in my body. And, you know, everyone has terrible dreams, everyone has terrible nightmares, but this was something that I knew was more than that, because I was awake and I was almost watching myself. Wow. And it's very hard to have all of the answers to, like,
for sure.
It was very, very impacting.
And like, correct me if I'm wrong, but did this then develop into a relationship, or was that a different experience?
No, at that time, I only had an experience with one ghost. And that was the case for a long, long time. And it was only when I sort of accepted the fact that I was having those interactions with the spirit in my mind, I was like, okay, I can see the spirit, I'm having interactions with the spirit, I'm just going to accept it. And I spoke to several psychic mediums, and they were saying, well, you know, you have this gift and you have this ability, so don't see it as something that's negative. And as soon as I stopped fighting it, because for a long time I was fighting it, I was like, go away, leave me alone, I don't want this in my life. As soon as I accepted that, I felt like it was a lot easier. And I also felt like I sort of unblocked myself, and I did start to see spirits on a more regular basis. So it's been a whole journey to understanding it. And the more people you speak to about this, the more that you understand it, and you understand that you're not an isolated person that's had this experience. Like, hundreds of people go through this every day. And people have professions where they are talking to the dead and, you know, reading people and having psychic gifts. So there's a whole world out there of people that experience this kind of thing on a daily basis.
I was just wondering, like, you said earlier that it's completely changed your viewpoint on, like, the afterlife and how you kind of exist in your own daily life. What in what way has it kind of changed the way you see the afterlife, I suppose?
I think the big thing is awareness, because before you are living life in a sort of one-dimensional way, you are just sort of living your life as a living person, and you're not necessarily thinking about after or before. I've always had this sense that I've been here before. Like, I've had this really, I'm really into the Victorian era, and I've always felt like I'm sort of the wrong time zone. Like, you know, when someone's a bit of an old soul and things like that. So I feel like I'm just so open now. I always was, because I'm a musician, I'm an open-minded, outgoing person, and I don't have like a very conformist life. My life is quite unconformist anyway, but I feel like it's my belief system and that has changed, because I'm not just thinking this is our one life and we are all that, it's just us that exist. Now I'm thinking, oh, there's more life forms out there, there's spirits out there, there's other dimensions, there's more to this world than what we can see. You know, I'm talking to people now who've, you know, I'm just coming to terms with having ghost sightings, and I talk to people now on a daily basis, and they're talking about aliens and skinwalkers, and I'm like, whoa, okay, hold on. I'm just getting used to ghosts. And there's a whole world out there of like these kind of black mass blobs that people see, and it's crazy.
And I'm really sorry, we have to talk about it, because we have read about it, so like, feel free to tell us if you don't want to talk about it. But we did read that you were married to a Victorian ghost called Eduardo, is that right?
Yeah, this is the ghost that I've been talking about all along. This is who is kind of responsible for throwing me into this world. And I feel like it's a funny thing, because even when I say, oh yeah, I was married to a ghost, and people love that line, it's always like, oh yeah, you married a ghost. Like,
I know.
Well, yeah, I did. And I feel like it's not at the time when I was going through that. I was going through a series of events and things that happened. And I feel like it's not like a human proposing to you where you sort of consider it and you think, oh yeah, let's get married. It felt almost like it wasn't my decision. It felt like it was really odd. It just felt like it was something and a journey that I had to go on, if that makes sense. It wasn't like, oh yes, you'll get, you know, it wasn't a considered decision. It was just sort of a
spiritual, like, spiritual
experience.
Yeah, no, that's exactly how I would say it. And I feel like it felt like I didn't have a choice in that journey, which now I know that you do have a choice, and you can assert your own kind of, you can control spiritual activity if you kind of use your mind in the correct way, and you can opt out almost if you know how to do so. But at the time, this was all new to me. So I was just, what is, my problem is I'm too curious. I was like, what is the purpose of all this? Like, why is all this happening? What, where is this going to take me? And I want to find out. I want to know more about this ghost. I want to know more about, you know, afterlife, you know, past, you know, I want to know more about this whole world. So I'm on this journey and I'm just going to go with it and see where it takes me.
And it's fascinating because, like, you know, in today's world, marriage, right? Okay, let's just talk about it. So proposal, you like get down on one knee, you by the river, it's quite romantic, there's petals, that's what I want. And then you've got the marriage, which is a joining of like two people who are in love with each other, who also are like teammates, and they cook dinner together, and they take, I don't know, they go out for dinner, yeah. And they, what else do they do? They have baths together. And
baths? How are you getting in a bath? No, I'm kidding.
Really bad examples. But the point being is that there's a life together with someone.
Yeah, they build together.
Yeah. How does that work when you're, you know, how does that compare to being, I don't know, having that connection with someone who is like not physically here?
Well, I suppose it doesn't is the easy answer to that question, because it's like you said, you can't plan. Obviously, the nature of dealing with spirits means that it's unpredictable. So you can't say, oh, we're going to meet on Friday. Let's have a date. Like, yeah. It doesn't work like that. And I think at the beginning, that was what was interesting about it, because it was so unpredictable. Mm. And I didn't know when I was going to encounter this ghost. I didn't know what was coming next. And I feel that's what was intriguing. And I'm not necessarily the most traditional person in the world anyway, but that really, really was exciting. And of course, like when you, I never kind of considered, oh, I'm going to be married for 20 years of my life. I just thought this is a journey that I've got to go on and I've got to see where this takes me. And yeah, of course, you can't do things, you can't get a mortgage with a ghost, you can't plan a future. But I feel like that was kind of its appeal in a way. I feel like it was a journey that I went on.
And how did your friends and family like respond? Have you got people who are in similar situations to you, or were they very accepting?
Hmm.
It's funny because at the time I didn't know anyone who even communicated with spirits. And it was just one of those things that I didn't necessarily divulge much about it. It was one of those almost a taboo, like we just don't talk about it, because when you know, I'll be so open about it when I know people are open-minded and when I know they're actually generally interested in learning about it.
For sure.
And when they're not judgmental. But I feel like I just learned that if I know someone's going to give a negative opinion, or if I know someone's going to like try and talk me out of it, it would just not really be talked about. So I feel like that's been the cool thing about traveling all over the world and meeting people who've had similar encounters, because in day-to-day life, you don't necessarily meet people who interact with spirits regularly.
Mm. Oh, thank you so much. It's been so interesting. And I really hope you know that it doesn't come from a place of judgment in these questions.
Yeah,
we're genuinely
for sure.
Just, I think it's just something, it's very hard to compare, like, I don't know, our life, or at least speak for myself, my
experience.
Life with something that you've experienced. So it's very interesting to kind of hear that kind of like day-to-day interactions and, yeah, kind of what experiences you've gone through.
No, I completely understand. And it is very different. It's very different to interacting with human beings on one level, but in some ways, it's very similar, because of course spirits used to be living people, so they do have personalities and they do have character traits and they do have behavioral patterns just like humans do. So they do have personalities and they are people in, do you know what I mean? They were people, however you want to put
sure.
it, but it's the same but different.
Amazing. Thank you so much. We're going to have to take a break because we've run out of time. But thank you so much for spending your time with us
and talking about
everything. And good luck with your music as well. I think that's really important to mention that you're a songwriter. We've got to love the songwriters, haven't we, Tash?
We do.
That's me. Thank you so much.
Have the best evening. Bye.
Bye.
We're going to go to a break and then we're going to be back with Justin Harrison.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we are.
FUBAR Radio.
We're back from the break. Welcome back to Death of Funny Business with myself, Becky Briggs, and
Natasha Spencer Levy, that is my name.
We're here with Justin Harrison, the CEO and founder of You Only Virtual. Thank you so much for joining us, Justin. How are you today?
Thank you for having me. I'm doing okay. Hoping I still live in a Western democracy after today. But
yes,
other than that,
it's a big day for America.
Big day. Yeah.
Stressful day for Americans.
Oh, bless you.
Whereabouts are you? Where are you?
I'm in Los Angeles.
Oh, wow. What time is it?
It's like 9:25.
Okay. Good morning.
Very specific.
Good morning. Good morning. We are so excited to talk to you.
Yeah, we are.
I have read a bit about what you're up to, and is it called Grief Tech?
We're kind of trying to own that term. I think some people are calling it death tech. Other people are, we use the term posthumous communications for a while, but you know, whatever you feel comfortable with, however you identify.
Okay. I'm not going to try and pretend that I know everything about this. So I think it'd be best idea if you just give us a little brief summary about what it is that you've created and what your kind of mission is.
Well, so what we invented back in 2020 was essentially a method of communicating with somebody who's not there. So using an AI avatar, an AI built avatar. What we do very specifically that's different from a lot of people in the AI space in general, not just grief tech or death tech or whatever you want to refer to it as, is we specifically build the avatar based on one-on-one communications. Okay. So, you know, for example, if we were going to build one for Tosh and I, as an example, we would just use the communications between the two of us. So the reason behind that is that the thought is that we're not just one version of ourselves. We're actually hundreds of versions of ourselves, depending on who we're interacting with. So
I would have to agree with that.
A certain Justin when she spoke to me, right? So that's our focus. We use communications that are existing to build them for people who are still alive or people who have unfortunately passed away as well.
Interesting.
Wow. Because that was kind of my first question when I was watching sort of lots of YouTube videos about this, and the fact I thought, well, how can you recreate me? Not because I'm, you know, not from an ego standpoint, but just like, I feel like I'm quite complex.
Well, you said something earlier, you said that you can't recreate memories.
Well, exactly. Yeah, that as well. So, okay, for example, context. So my dad died and Tasha's mum died.
Yep.
The things that I hold dearest are the memories that I've created with my dad when we were, you know, younger. And I feel like, for me, that's the bit that I want to remember. I'm not sure that you can recreate...
Like, I guess the question is, what kind of conversations are you having with an AI? Like, is it just everyday stuff or is it?
Yeah, I mean, so I think that for me, the aha moment, you know, some people call it the light bulb moment or whatever. It came. So I came up with the idea. I got into a really bad motorcycle accident. I was like a film producer here in LA. I got hit by a car, almost died, blah, blah, blah. And when I was in the hospital, you know, I'm coming out of like my fifth or sixth surgery and my dad is trying to talk to me. And of course, like, you know, I'm concussed and I'm like beat up. Right? And I'm just speaking nonsense like people do after major surgery.
For sure.
And my dad, who's an engineer, is very like logic based person. And he like, he's a very calm person, you know, like I'm a very like get stuff done and move quickly and whatever. So when we talk, sometimes there's this like missing each other, you know, I'm trying to get an idea quickly and he's trying to get clarification. So I'm making zero sense, just gibberish out of my mouth, no sense whatsoever. But he's doing the logic based thing of like, well, explain that again or whatever. And I'm doing the very natural thing for me, which is getting annoyed at him. Like, this is ridiculous. Why don't you understand what I'm saying? And so I start like breathing heavily and like rolling my eyes and, you know, being exacerbated by the conversation. And months later, you know, when I had founded the company and we were having wine and talking, and he said, you know, that you probably don't remember this, but that day, nothing you said made sense to me, but the way in which you said it, I knew my son was still there. And I felt instantly relieved, like you weren't gone. Mm. And so when I was thinking about my mom dying, whom had been diagnosed with cancer at that point, that's what clicked for me. I was like, I don't give a shit if she has the memories. I don't care if I remember the same thing she remembers, because we don't, that doesn't happen as we get older anyway. What I want is the feeling of talking to my mom. I want that expectation of talking to her.
How can you get closure from grief? Because I think that's been my mission for, you know, it has been. I've just wanted to know, how can I feel better? How do I get closure from him not being in my life anymore? And I can imagine if I was to talk to my dad on, you know, through this kind of machine, I don't think I'd feel like I had closure. I think I would feel that he was still there in a way. And have you ever felt like that, where actually you felt, I think it would be better to leave it, or do you prefer to have those kind of, to keep those conversations alive, I guess?
There's certainly a lot of people with that concern. I think the way I would distillate this down into like sort of the easiest way and the way I look at it is, if we're to accept my sort of hypothesis that we're not just a singular version of ourselves, right? We really, you think about the relationships between your parents, your siblings, your lovers, your best friends, your, you know, whatever, they're all very unique. And so I think the tragic part of death and what like really grief breaks down to for me is, in my case, there's this part of me that for 40 years, my closest relationship, the first person I ever knew in my life, this version of me that only came out, is now silent, right? Uh-huh. A lot of times people will say like a part of me died with them, and it's like, no, it didn't. You're still here. So really what it is that part of you is just sitting alone forever. And that's grief, right? And so for me, when people use terms like closure, like you're never going to find another dad. Never going to find another mom.
For sure.
There's no one that's going to fill that loop in my life. Mm. It's just a getting used to the quiet, right? So I think for me, like when it comes to all medical, emotional, like the human experience, like our goal is to perpetually make it better. So in a lot of ways, when people say stuff like that to me, I'm like, yeah, that's kind of like being like, oh, if, you know, how do you get used to not having an arm if we put a prosthesis on it? Or like, how do you get used to dying if you get a fake heart or something? It's like, I don't know. I don't want to get used to that. I'd rather, you know, or conversely, people will say to me, if you remove death from the equation or the experience of loss, do you really appreciate life? And then I go straight back to like, you know, I've never lost my legs, but I'm very certain I don't need to know that I appreciate them. And I'm good without having experienced that.
Mm. Interesting. Wow.
I didn't think about it like that.
I think it's very interesting, the kind of, because actually I hadn't thought about it in the way that it's like what we lose almost, because I very much, when I read all this and I, you know, when Becky sent me the stuff and what have you, and I read about your company, I definitely was kind of thinking a lot about the person who's gone, and I didn't really think about how you do lose a part of yourself. And it is a very good point that everyone has different personalities with different people, and not necessarily like a completely different person, but there are different levels of like, you're definitely like, I'm going to be different with you than I am with my sister or like with my dad or whatever. And I think that's it makes a lot of sense actually now you say it like that. I was like, oh yeah, maybe like I get to be that kind of person. I mean, for me, it's a bit different because I was 7, so I don't know if I want to be 7 anymore. But I get what you're saying, actually, which is interesting.
I mean, have you had any feedback from people that have used it? What have people said about it? Because I can imagine there's backlash, but also, like, I do think this is, like, quite an amazing development in tech and in general.
Well, thank you. That's awesome to hear. Surprisingly, like, backlash is all in the hypothetical, right?
Yeah.
So it's... I think it's, I'll give an example, and, you know, she wrote an article about it, so I don't imagine she's particularly overly sensitive about sharing, but, you know, we had a journalist from one of your all's paper, The Times, do this big sort of expose, and she built one of her parents that she had lost, and, you know, it was probably the most sort of negative feedback we'd gotten, you know, she was like, it didn't really help me, it didn't, you know, so on and so forth, but it was interesting, that was when we just had a chat function, you know, you could just chat with it or whatever. And this year on my mom's birthday, we introduced phone calls. So like I had a press event where I called my mom and wished her happy birthday for her birthday.
Gosh.
And she was the first person in attendance, this journalist, you know, who had built it. And she was, you know, had the most questions of anybody. And so, you know, I didn't call it out or make a big deal out of it, but it was like anecdotally, like, everyone that has created one, like, and has used one, we've never lost that customer. So they continue to hold it in some way or shape. I get emails.
Sorry, we've got
the most recent sort of pressure that I've felt is like, I'm getting emails from around the world when something goes wrong. And now I'm starting to like lose sleep and freak out about like, oh God, we've got to hurry up and fix this for somebody because they're relying on it. And, you know, I recently started getting emails from a woman in Italy who had built one, and you know, we keep very strict confidence, so we have no idea who's using it, who's not using it. And you know, she emailed us probably 9 times in the span of 24 hours, like trying to make sure it got fixed fast enough, because that's how engaged she was with it. So from people who've used it, the feedback's been phenomenal. from, you know, regulators and sort of people that make their money coming on shows and talking about why you should, what the dangers are and sort of scare tactics. There have been, you know, a lot in the hypothetical, and but nothing compares to when you've had this loss and you're looking at this as a possibility, and frankly, pretty much anything as a possibility to help with grief, which is just it's the fucking worst part of the human experience, right? There's nothing, I've never experienced something worse.
Yeah. Yeah, we can relate on that.
We
level.
Can definitely relate on that.
We can definitely relate on that.
It's just really interesting that that's kind of the way that we're going to go. I mean, like, I'm probably ancient because I've only just in the last year started using ChatGPT and AI.
You're just not.
But it's the way that it's the way that's going to go. And I mean, maybe therapy won't be. I don't know. What do you think? Do you think therapy is going to go down?
It could be a very good useful tool in therapy, because I mean, you've talked about how, you know, with certain therapies that like you use real life scenarios. Maybe it's gonna, have you ever talked about using it in therapy situations?
Yeah, so actually we offer something called a grief certification, and the idea is that we've worked with some of the top grief experts in the US on how to use this as a tool for grief. So one of the most common things that the therapist we work with here is, I wish I could just say this one last thing, or I could hear this one last thing. And it's like, oh, guess what? You can. Or at minimum, you can go through sort of a therapeutic process with it. So it's absolutely on our radar. I went to school to be a therapist. I'm 150 years ago. I'm way older than you all. but I have the utmost respect, and you know, I'm in therapy every week, and you know, I think they're not mutually exclusive tools.
For sure.
First of all, you're not ancient at all. A lot of people haven't started even really engaging with ChatGPT and things like that. But, you know, if you were trying to describe social media to somebody in 2003 or 2004, you know, they would look at you like you were insane, like you were a crazy person. So, you know, we're now, if you think back to 2020, when we were first throwing this around and talking to people and presenting and making ad spots for it, pretty much everyone looked at us like we were batshit crazy. And ChatGPT comes out and people realize like, oh wow, like tech AI is here, we can do this. And so for the last 18 months now, it's more like, oh, is this the best way to use it? But I'm like, yo, you know, 24 months ago you were looking at me like I was out of my mind, and now it's like, now you're talking about how to regulate it. So I'm like, it's progression, you know.
Sure.
It'd be much different.
Where are you going to be in 10 years then? What's the kind of
What's
the plan for this? It can go further, right?
This is where we go from, like, you know, polite CEO that just wants to throw some ideas and promote a product to like certified insane person.
Yeah, because I guess
we can go to a certified insane. Let's do it.
We can. I mean, just out of interest. I mean, also, would that make any difference to someone's kind of grief journey?
You don't have to tell us your master plan, but. What's the year?
All right, easy. Today's a rough day to throw terms like that around for us.
I'm kidding.
I mean, if we look at what we're doing right now, you know, for me, it's completely underwhelming. You know, like I'm all over the world doing press for this and trying to explain to people, but
for sure,
we already are like 5 or 6 steps ahead of what's going to be available, like even next year, for example. So for next year, you'll be able to FaceTime with somebody you lost. We have a patent in the AR space, so you'll be able to put on a pair of glasses and have dinner with them.
I think that would be so emotional.
Yeah, I mean, it would be, for sure. I guess it depends where you are in your journey. Yeah.
I think the way that I'm looking at this in 10 years, right, is that, you know, we are getting ready to introduce so that you just have a phone number. Like, so again, just using an example of the two of you, you have a Yuve account. You each have a Yuve account. You have an assigned phone number from a Yuve account, and you do your talking, texting, FaceTiming through that phone number. The entire time, it's now building each a version of you for each other, so that when somebody's gone, you just flip it on. It's the idea behind this was that there's no gap in between communication, so that like with my mom, which was the inspiration for this, was, you know, she lived in Seattle, I've lived in Los Angeles. It's like a 3-hour flight. We didn't see each other but once a year. The idea was, I never want to not be able to call my mom, text my mom, send my mom cute animal memes, all this stuff. and that was the way to do it, right? So I want people, in my mind, Gen Z, by the time they start catching up and losing their parents like millennials are right now, there won't be a transition time. They'll literally flip their subscription on and the conversation continues.
Mm. It would just be like an upgrade.
Oh gosh.
Oh my gosh. Justin, there's quite a lot to take in. Like I'm so impressed by the fact that, you know, it's possible that we can do that and that you've, I guess, pioneered this, right?
I mean, myself and other, so my, like, my greatest talent in life is finding people smarter than me and then and convincing them to hang out with me. So I know there's brilliant, brilliant minds who have really done the hard work. I came up with the ideas and then put patents on them like any good capitalist and then, again, convince people to work with me and then just sat quietly and let them figure it out. But yeah, we really, I think we have the best concept and it's every step of the way, it's proven to be the best way to approach this, the most authentic, most genuine. And that's really what it gets back to not be cheesy about this is like, the warmth I feel from talking to my mother, as I'm sure for you all, when you recall your loss is like, that's what I'm looking for. So if it's not genuine, if I can't suspend disbelief and engage, it doesn't matter how cool it is, how realistic it looks, how realistic it sounds. If it's not that vibe, for lack of a better words, to not be totally Los Angeles right now, it's not what I need. And so I think the way we're doing things is the right approach. And I think, you know, whether it's us or somebody else kind of takes what we're doing and runs with it, I think this will be very commonplace in people's lives in 5-10 years.
Well, look, if you're helping people, that's kind of what we like, isn't it, Tash?
Absolutely.
So thank you so, so much for joining us and explaining more about what it is that you've done, what you've
and we'll definitely
created.
We'll definitely keep an eye out for everything in death tech.
I know. And it's because it's going to be
we can create ones for you all in like 15 minutes. So if you want to come try them and play with them.
Wow.
Just email us.
Wow.
Okay.
We'll be in touch.
Hey.
Oh my
there
gosh.
We go.
This is amazing. Thank you so much. Have a lovely rest of your day. And I'm sure we'll hear more about this soon.
Thank you, darling.
Bye.
Thanks for having me.
Good luck.
Bye.
Good luck. Oh, wow.
Okay. I have many, many thoughts.
Okay. You go first.
I don't know.
What do you mean? You don't know.
He's very, you know what? He's very sincere, and you know what?
No, he means this.
He
like,
really
this
does.
This is coming
no,
from a place
think,
of like he
and
really.
And it sounds like he's had good reviews, and like there's part of me that worries. I did almost ask like, data protection. Like, what's the situation? Like, how are you? Obviously, you're paying for the service. I was like, how when you're like, are you paying for it forever? Like, but then again, I think that doesn't actually make a lot of sense. He wouldn't be selling data because like you'd be paying for the service. You don't have to sell the data. But then again, who fucking knows? But it's gonna be very interesting over the next few years. It reminds me a lot of movies I've watched that
it's Black Mirror in a way. And it won't. And this will be like, you know when you watch Friends. And Ross says something about like, oh,
they're gonna have screens
or something
in their pockets.
Yeah. Is that the one? Is that something like that?
I don't know.
He said something like that the other day on the TV.
The other day
on the TV, and my TV is actually 15 years old, by the way. 15 years old.
Oh wow, she's
so
vintage.
But that is going to be,
well,
that this is going to be Ross. Now,
well, this is the thing.
Do you know what I'm trying to say?
Yeah, no, I do know what you're trying to say. Here's the thing. For all of the people who know me well, I'm about to bring up a movie that is like
because you won't know it,
but it's okay, but I'm going to describe it to you. So it's called The Island, and it's basically this like movie with, I think it's Scarlett Johansson and Ewan McGregor.
Oh, yeah, I think it is that one.
Anyway, you do know it, don't you?
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, you do. Anyway, point being is that in this, they basically like have all these clones in like a little building, and I'm not gonna I can't spoil it for you. Fuck it, it's really, really old.
No, because other people might not have watched it, so you can't.
No, but no, I will spoil it. It's really, really old. It's like really old, okay. Like it's 2000s old. Anyway, the point is that they have this, like, they all, these rich people, they all have their own clones, and then I can see Yasmin telling me to shut up in the thing.
She says some really mean things.
Stop. Point being is that I think it heads in that direction where you have like, you know, you have human based animatroids like becoming our dead loved ones and like giving us kidneys and like.
It's gonna be weird. But I think it could be
cool. I would definitely recommend everyone watch The Island, because even though it's kind of a bad movie, I kind of love it and it's really good.
I'm on the topic of like celebrities and movies.
Oh God, here we go.
The game!
It's game time. So you know what we do need? We need game music. Bam, ba, bam, bam, ba, bam, 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 spooky game.
Natasha.
No, this is just another...
It's Guess the Dead Celeb.
This is what it is. This whole show is just a... It's just a ploy anyway. Put me in making myself look like a fool.
No, because you can prove us wrong. Okay, so I'm going to give you a clue. It's a game. Guess the Dead Celeb. I'm going to give you a clue. And
I'm going to close my eyes.
You are going to have to guess a celebrity. Oh, do you understand the rules?
Yeah.
Do you understand the rules?
I just ate the mic a little bit. Sorry.
Right. Clue number one. I was a British singer-songwriter, widely known for my jazz-influenced vocals and my distinctive blend of soul, blues, and R&B.
Mm-hmm.
Despite my fame, my personal life was troubled by addiction.
Right.
I died of alcohol poisoning in 2011 at the age of 27.
Oh, is it Amy? Amy Winehouse.
It's Amy Winehouse.
I was about to say Amy I know.
Oh.
No, Amy, she's not dead. Oh my goodness.
Oh my gosh. Amy Winehouse is one of my favorite songwriters.
I know, you love Amy Winehouse, don't you?
Yeah.
I mean, she's brilliant. Bless her. Bless her soul. God bless.
So.
What a brilliant, brilliant human. Gone too soon.
I know. That is. So
you get
sad.
Upset about it.
Yeah, I actually think. Yeah, I am. Think it's really sad.
You got Roman Empire.
Is Amy Winehouse my Roman Empire? Yeah.
You do listen to her. You are like very much that kind of vibe.
But you got a point, so.
Okay.
Silver linings.
Ding, 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 ding.
Clue two. Just jump in as soon as you know it, yeah?
Okay.
You don't need to wait for me to say the second clue.
Oh, okay, cool.
You can just go for
it. I like that.
Clue two. I was born in 1946 in Zanzibar, and my heritage, do you know it, was a mix of Indian, African...
Freddie Mercury.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I didn't think you'd get that.
No, I really love Queen.
Wow.
Well, I really love Freddie Mercury.
That was really fast.
Thank you. I did read a tiny bit ahead because I have got the questions in front of me. Shall I not do that?
Oh my God, she's cheating. Yeah, she's literally cheating. Right, I'm actually going to stop the game.
I didn't read the answer. I just read the question. Anyway.
Clue three.
Fine,
I was born in 1958 in Indiana into a working class family and was performing music by the age of 11.
Mm-hmm.
In 2009, I died from acute intoxication, that's a word before that that I can't read, at 50 years old, just weeks before my planned comeback tour, and my doctor was later convicted of involuntary manslaughter.
Michael Jackson.
Gosh, she's good at this game.
All my shit pop culture knowledge is coming into fruition.
It's fruition. It's really, really good that you know
it. It's quite good, I suppose, for this situation. I don't know whether it's good in any other world.
Clue number four.
Okay, let's go.
Is everyone ready?
Never.
Born in 1879 in the Kingdom of Württemberg.
Württemberg.
I initially worked in electrical engineering before shifting my focus to physics.
Hmm.
While I am the most famous for my theory of relativity.
I know who it is. Is it Albert Einstein?
It is.
It's Albert Einstein. He's also Jewish, did you know?
Is he?
Yep.
Didn't know that.
Very famous Jew, I think. I really hope he is Jewish, because now I'm really embarrassed. Oh, to caveat this, I am a Jewish person. I'm not just being like, whip, whip, to the Jews.
I know.
Yeah, I know you know. They might not know.
I know you are.
You know, but they might not know.
This is really good, Tash. Okay, clue five.
Thank you.
I was born in 1929 and began my career in Hollywood, where I became a fashion icon and a symbol of elegance.
I know who it is.
Go on.
Marilyn Monroe.
No!
Is it not? Okay, do it again.
Though I was an acclaimed actress.
I got too cocky.
I know you did. Slow down, honey.
Okay, sorry.
I became as well known for my humanitarian work, especially after marrying a prominent European prince.
Grace Kelly.
Nope.
Who is it?
My career had highs and lows, but my personal life was often a topic of public fascination. I passed away from cancer in 1993, age 63. My death was both a loss of the entertainment world and a tragic reminder of the toll cancer can take on even the most beloved figures. God, that's heavy.
Diane. No, Diane got killed in a car crash. Why am I saying
this? Oh my gosh.
Wait, who,
You do know this. Even I know this one.
Say it again.
I'm not saying it all again. Can I give you the film clue?
Give me the film clue.
Oh my God, maybe I've got it wrong.
I think you might have got it wrong.
That's the one I meant. Yeah, Breakfast at Tiffany's.
Audrey Hepburn.
Yeah.
Okay, that's easy. No, do you know what? She was going around my head. She married a prince.
Apparently she married a prince, but really? We're moving through. Okay, clue six. I was born in 1942, became a world-renowned athlete. I famously refused military service during the Vietnam War. Citing religious reasons and opposition to the war. After my sports career, I became an outspoken advocate for social justice and later a global ambassador for peace.
Girl, I'm not a sports person. I don't know sports.
Muhammad Ali.
Muhammad Ali?
That's the end of the game.
He didn't go to Vietnam. Wow. So, that's respect. Yeah. Well, that was a fun game.
Do you know what you got?
I got like 8 out of 10. Oh, okay, I was close.
That's a pretty solid win.
4 out of 6. I can't count. That's not bad. I think that's pretty good for
me. Anyway, well done. I'm going to go to the break.
Thank you.
Are you okay with that?
No, not really.
See you in a bit.
Bye.
FUBAR Radio. We're back from the break.
Yeah, we are, motherfuckers.
Welcome to Death of Funny Business with myself, Becky Briggs.
And me, Natasha Spencer-Levy. We've had such a good show.
It's been a really good show.
I was actually, I'm gonna be honest, I was super, super, super
nervous
about the show. I just wasn't convinced by, because I know me and Becky give a good show and we're like, oh, right. Tash doesn't know what's going on. I do know what's going on.
What do you mean?
When we do the whole bit where it's like, what's happening today, Tash? And I go, I don't know.
Don't ruin it. You didn't really know until like 10 minutes before. Yeah, all right, I've been doing my research.
Hey, look, I just want to put it out there. I was not convinced personally. We're allowed to break the fourth wall. This is the whole point.
It's, yeah, go on.
It's FUBAR Radio, guys. This is the truth here. I wasn't convinced, but actually by the end of the show, I have a lot of questions.
I think we need to be open-minded with things, and I think it's good to like listen.
Yeah,
and
you were very much like, Tash, stop being so closed-minded. And I was like, Becky, I think this is silly, and like, I don't want to do it. Yeah. And you were like, no, let's do it.
But that's only because I've become really kind of like,
spiritual.
We don't really know what's real at the moment, yeah. So I'm going through that sort of period.
I love that for you.
Thank you.
Well, tell me more about that. Expand.
Yeah. What is going on?
Like, what's going on there? Tell me. What you're feeling like, some of it.
I don't know. Well, this kind of thing. So I want to kind exploring. Of talk about like what we're mourning this week.
Monday
That's what we do
morning.
Now. And I've been thinking about this a lot recently. I think I've lived two lives. I am convinced this isn't in a spiritual way. This is... I am a totally different person before my dad died.
Absolutely.
To now.
Absolutely.
And this is not, I'm being serious. I don't
believe you.
But I don't really also remember what I was like before either. But from what I can remember, because my memory is just completely disappeared.
Yeah. I get you.
I think my dad stole it when he left. I think it stole
my
memory.
Dickhead, Mark, get in the bin.
How
dare
you
steal her memories? He is in the bin.
Well, no, I hope he's in like a nice bin.
No, he's in a nice, I'm sure you put him somewhere lovely.
Put him somewhere lovely. He's wrapped up in like lovely tissue paper.
Is he?
I don't know.
Oh.
But point being, I think I was a lot more empathetic before. I think I was very, very sensitive. I used to cry all the time. Sorry, I don't know why I speak about myself so much, but I just hope that maybe someone else feels like this as well.
Becky, it's our show. We can talk about ourselves for as long as you want. That's a whole point.
Okay.
Talk about yourself, please.
And then I've suddenly became really cold, really distant from people.
Yeah.
Very cynical.
Mm-hmm.
And only recently am I starting to soften.
So here is Rebecca describing my entire personality. For my whole life. Do you remember the other day when you said,
oh, no, you know.
Tash, yeah, you know what I'm going to say. When we were kids and you said, yeah, all I remember is that you were just like different at school.
You were.
Because you, then us, and this is the same thing. Like, you had the same experience. It's just happening now. And I think like...
Am I different now?
Wocky was... No, because... Wocky, what's your name? Should I just say?
Wocky? Becky.
I didn't really know you as a teenager or as an adult. I kind of knew, or I knew you, but I didn't, like, we didn't hang out or anything like that.
No.
Because we went to different schools because you were clever and I wasn't.
But do you know what I mean though? By I just feel like I've just, your personality, and also, okay, your personality will change over time because we're growing and
but
that's
when,
what happens.
When something really traumatic happens to you, it does not make unlogical sense for you to change as a person. Like,
no.
There are so many things that I know, that I have personally, that I do, that are part of my personality now, that have come from my losing my mum. There's so much cynicism that you get from it. Like, I mean, I know that I've had arguments with people where I can't empathize with them because I'm like, oh my God, it's your dog dying. Yeah. I don't care. Like, grow the fuck up. Like, whatever.
I know.
And actually, what a bitch. Like, everybody's dead.
No, but it's no, true. And I have to remind myself that everything's relative. And like, their dog dying is probably as bad as like my dad dying at the time. But you do end up, yeah, you do end up just being like, oh, shut the fuck up. Like, stop moaning.
Yeah.
But then there are people that have gone through worse than what I've gone through.
Exactly. But so, everyone's experiences is...
But I also don't want to be a horrible cold person. That's one thing I liked about myself when I was younger, is that I genuinely cared to a really stupid level about people. Yeah. And I was just the most emotional. I was writing songs about people and
like
boys
your friends.
At like 13 and friends. Yeah. And I was like, why? I don't think I was aware that I was feeling those things. And they were just, I was just writing about them. And then suddenly, I didn't listen to music for a whole year after my dad died. I just couldn't listen to music because that was like too much motion. Yeah. So it was as if I just went, nope, let's turn that dial down.
Yeah.
And somehow carry on with life. So I think actually what I'm trying to say here is that I am slightly mourning my younger self.
Yeah.
But I also feel like she's coming back.
That's lovely, really nice. Rebecca. Well, look, as this is the other thing with losing a parent, especially with childhood and stuff. I always say that, for me, losing my mum so young, it made me feel really old really quickly.
Mm.
And I think something like that really does, it really sets like a quickening on your life experience. It's very much like, okay, wow, now we have to be like strong and we have to, like, now our whole viewpoint changes. And it is the most difficult thing to deal with. But also I think you should be very kind to yourself on the fact that you changed because you were dealing with such a difficult thing.
Mm.
It's not an easy thing to do. Like, if you become less empathetic and less, like, able to have patience because your dad died, I don't think that makes you a weird person or a difficult person. It makes you probably more human than most. Because you went, actually, I know that I've been this really weird, but now I need you guys.
Mm.
And people are going to be like, oh my God, why are you so cold? And it's like, no, I actually can't give you what I've always given you. I don't have the capacity. So all that sunshine that you've always had from me is behind a cloud right now. And I actually need you to come and be the sunshine for me. But I think a lot of people go, oh my God, I can't deal with that. And you go, well, okay, I guess just going to have to float away then, because friendships and relationships and all this, it's very tricky when you are on very different paths. And I think you should give yourself super grace for all of your experiences.
Thank you so much,
and you're welcome. And look at us. Who'd have thought it? Not me.
Oh my gosh, I actually do feel better for that now.
Good.
I actually do need to talk more. And it's been a fun show, hasn't it?
It has.
I have so much energy today.
Good. You had a Coca-Cola.
I had a Coca-Cola. And
other brands available.
Right. I guess see you next week, mate.
On that note, I love you.
I love you.
Bye, babe.
Have a lovely week, everyone.
Love you.
Thanks for listening. It's been a fun show. And
bye,
thank you.
Friends.
Oh my God, when you say thank you to everybody.
Oh, thank you, Bricard, for coming in and talking about your paranormal experiences.
And thank you, Justin.
Thank you, Justin.
Thanks, guys.
Anyway, bye.
Bye. Bye. Thanks for listening to Death of Funny Business.
Yeah, thank you for coming back. It's kind.